In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen. Whatever bad things happen, whether in the world, or in my own tribe, or to myself, when bad things happen, it is natural to ask, why? Why did this happen to me? Why is this happening to my loved one? Why did this happen to the innocent? Or simply, why did this happen, period? Just why? And the question why in this case can mean either what was the cause of the bad thing, or why can also mean what are we supposed to get from it? What's the lesson we take afterwards? When Jesus and his disciples pass the blind man, that's the first thing the disciples ask. Why is he blind? And notice they ask in the sense of what caused it. Specifically, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, there are plenty of bad things that happen that are not the direct result of a specific sin, but are simply part of the brokenness of the world. Maybe it's general sinfulness, but not a specific sin. Natural disasters would be one. Diseases, a slip and fall. And as Jesus affirms here, being born blind, these are not direct results of someone's specific sin. Of course, many bad things that happen are the direct result of sin. Abuse and manipulation, wars, shootings in schools and supermarkets. When these horrors happen, it is natural to ask why. The disciples do, and we do too. Interestingly, Jesus not only answers their why question, meaning the cause, saying the blindness was not caused by sin, but he also answers the why question they neglected to ask. What's the lesson? What is being revealed to us afterward when horrors happen? Jesus says the lesson, the takeaway, is that the works of God be revealed in us. Now, to make clear that the glorious works of God be revealed is not the cause of terrible things. Glory is what we find in a tragedy afterwards. Glory is what we take from it. That God's light comes into the darkness of the world. That divine comfort is available to those who grieve. That love is greater than hate or pain or tragedy. And that we can change. That we can change by grace. In the aftermath of the horrors of shootings in schools and supermarkets, we need to ask why. And I don't only mean the sense of what caused this. Everybody's asking that. Everybody's asking that. What's the cause? How do we prevent another? And those are crucial questions, make no mistake. But the other meaning of why also needs to be asked. It's essential that it be asked. What is being revealed about God in this? And what is being revealed in us in the aftermath? And what is being revealed about God is that we are being called to a love and a unity equal to the unity between God the Father and Christ. That we all be one as Christ and the Father are one. That was Christ in his final prayer. That is the will of God, that we be one as Christ and the Father are one. In the face of unspeakable tragedy, we are called to unity with our neighbor and with our community, that we love one another even as Christ has loved us. That's what's being revealed about God. What's being revealed in us is that we have a long way to go to get there. We are nowhere near the unity between the Father and the Son, or the love that Christ has for us. And I don't mean us as perpetrators, I mean us as survivors looking on. Undoubtedly, we have love and compassion for victims and for their families, but do we have it in us yet to love one another? And we can say we love our fellow citizens in the face of tragedy, but sometimes our words and our thoughts betray us. I put a link this past week on our church's Facebook page of Metropolitan Tikhon's heartfelt statement about the Uvalde massacre. Within an hour's time, there were two comments, not by parishioners. These were general public, they were by the public. I don't know either person. Both comments were filled with pain. That much is clear. But neither comment was able to even approach loving. They weren't there yet. Both were laying blame for this tragedy on one or the other side. Half of the country is to blame, and a specific half in each one of their opinions. One included the phrase racist right. One included the phrase leftist mob. Don't bother looking for the comments. Both were promptly deleted. And I'm not bringing this up to criticize them. Both of them were clearly in great pain. These kind of words come from pain. They were in great distress, they were in great fear, and I have deep compassion on someone who is in such distress. We need to. The problem, and the reason I bring it up, is so that we can see that fear closes the heart. Fear shuts the doors of the heart to the outside. Fear shuts the doors of the heart to the other. Fear closes the doors of the heart to the different and to the them, right when our heart needs to be opened. Fear turns the heart inward looking for safety. Safety in my own opinions, safety in my own theories, safety in my own prejudices, and most of all, safe from whoever them might be. When I'm afraid, the last thing I want to do is open my heart to somebody who might think differently than I do. The problem is there is no safety in fear. There's no safety in shutting out the other. It's an illusion. It's an illusion. And that's why in the face of tragedy, Christ calls us to open our hearts and to let the other in, that we be one even as he and the Father are one. His prayer for that came right before the cross. And that only happens, that unity, when our heart is open. Speaker and teacher Chelsea Forbrook once said, if we are too attached to our own theories and our own opinions, it blocks out curiosity. If we're not curious about the other, there's no chance in loving them. Think about that. If we're not curious about the other, there is no chance in loving them. And she's absolutely right. When we cease being curious about what makes someone tick, or what they care about, or what frightens them, or what breaks their heart, especially someone who thinks differently from me, I lose my ability to love them. If I don't care what's in their heart, if I'm not curious what's in someone's heart, I am not loving them. And that means that we have lost the likeness of God in ourselves. But when we are curious about those who are different from ourselves, I don't mean curious in like some circus oddity curiosity. I mean curious in the deepest cares of their heart. When we are curious about those who are different from ourselves, that's when love begins to open my heart. And that's when the works of God are revealed in us. Here's an example of that kind of love from Acts that Michelle read for us today. Paul and Silas are arrested and thrown into prison overnight. At midnight, by some miracle, the prison doors are opened and the shackles on Paul and Silas are broken. And that's not even where the story is interesting. It just gets interesting there. Paul and Silas stay put. The doors are open, the shackles are off, they're in prison, and they stay put. Nothing compelled them to stay. It's pitch black, no one would have seen them leave, but they stay. Why? There's that question again, why? They stay out of love for their enemy. If they had escaped, that jailer was done for. That jailer was done for. So much so that the jailer was about to choose suicide over whatever punishment awaited him for letting prisoners escape. That must have been some punishment. Make no mistake, the jailer was their enemy. Maybe he was even the one that laid the stripes on their backs. But out of love for this enemy and stranger, Paul and Silas stay put. And the jailer is moved and cut to the heart. He takes Paul and Silas to his own house in the middle of the night, washes their wounds, feeds them, he converts to Jesus Christ, and his whole family is baptized. And if you keep reading, you discover that they're all back in the jail by morning. so that no one gets in any trouble. Paul's act of love led to the jailer's act of love, which led to Paul's act of love of going back into jail before morning. Love begets love. If Paul and Silas had closed their hearts in fear, what a different and tragic ending that story would have had. Fear closes the heart to the other, especially when the other can be labeled them. The way of Christ is love. Love opens the heart, especially to the other. When we are faced with tragedy, when bad things happen, it's quite natural to ask why. But let's not limit its meaning only to cause. Also ask why in discovering what is being revealed. Where are the works of God shining into this dark place? And in our present situation, I am convinced that the revelation of God is that we stop closing our hearts to each other for fear or imagined safety, and instead rediscover a curiosity for what my neighbor really cares about and what really breaks my neighbor's heart, so that we might love again. Jesus comes in the face of tragedy for the same reason he came into the world in the first place, that we love one another as he has loved us, and that we be one as he and the Father are one. Amen.
Amen.